You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone, and you're very welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 2, Episode 5. Kieran Burke and John Breyer in studio, and we've been on our travels this week, John.
Kieran, I've been over to England. Yeah, I went to Leeds against Sheffield Wednesday. Leeds, nothing like the teams of old, I have to say. And then on Sunday, we managed to get through the snow to Manchester. We did the Etihad Stadium tour.
Little upgrade on Oriel Park, the Ballybuffet, is it a little bit better?
It's closed, Kieran.
It doesn't have the homemade soup of Ballybuffet, but
no, there's some season tickets for 15 grand, apparently. Some of the tunnel clubs, you know, you get to rub shoulders with the players. 15 grand for a season ticket, Kieran. Could not believe it.
Rub shoulders with the players. You can have a chipper with a player after a League of Ireland match. You don't need to be paying 15 grand for it.
Exactly, exactly. Or a fag and a pipe with some of the kids.
Yeah. And I was over in Glasgow, Edinburgh, Stirling, all of Scotland, really. Few of our listeners might enjoy this one. So went to Edinburgh on Sunday, John, and the missus said, "Oh, there's the Edinburgh Dungeons." So right, I said to myself, "Oh, lovely. This must be, you know, something historical, maybe, you know, so we'll go. I love my history. I don't like horror stuff, anything like that." Next thing anyway, we paid in, and it was only when we had paid in, she told me, "This is a house of horrors."
Yeah.
Well, John, I haven't had a shock like that since Friday night when David O'Sullivan scored
and
a hat-trick for Shelburne.
I think Alan Colley gave you enough shocks last week with his predictions for Bowes.
Yeah, and so far he looks to be going right after Bowes' results during the week, but I still have faith in the Gypsies, so we'll be discussing with Shawnee Fitzpatrick, a Bowes fan, later on in the show.
Yeah, looking forward to that, Kieran.
Yeah, it should be a good chat. So, and obviously our other guest tonight, folks, is Neil Fenn. Come under a little bit of criticism after that game, Longford losing 3-2 to Shelburne, and as I said there, David O'Sullivan scoring a hat-trick to down his former side. But yeah, it's been an interesting week, that's for sure. But we'll crack into the show now, folks, and we're going to start with the First Division results from Friday night.
Yeah, indeed. So we had Shelf 3, Longford 2, Kieran. As you said, the returning hero is now villain, David O'Sullivan.
Sure.
It was written in the stars, wasn't it? Hat-trick, Kieran.
First thing I have to say, absolutely fantastic game of football, John. Real advert for the First Division. Had everything. Goals, red cards, controversy, 22-man brawls, everything.
Yeah.
So I'll take us through the game. Longford on top in the early stages, playing their regular kind of possession football that we've seen under Neil Fenn. But then it went horribly wrong. Mick Kelly played a short kick out to Shane O'Connor in midfield. He took an absolutely terrible touch with his back to his own goal. Ball ended up running into the Longford box. David O'Sullivan got on the end of it, was about to strike it for a goal, and O'Connor takes him out of it. Obviously, the new rules is if the player makes a genuine attempt to win the ball, it's a yellow card, so that saved him. He stayed on the pitch. He did actually win the ball, I have to say, but as I said to Neil Fenn after when I spoke to him, you can't expect to lose the ball in that position and then lunge in with a rash tackle and
naive,
get away with
it.
Yeah, very naive. David O'Sullivan converted that. Didn't celebrate, interestingly, but trust me, he did later on. Longford hit back very, very quickly, and the goal they scored really epitomised everything Neil Fenn's team is about. Verdon, lovely link-up play with Mulhall, who held the ball up really well in the first half, not so well in the second, but he laid it back to Verdon and he curled it into the bottom corner at 1-1. Longford back on top then, just before half-time. Verdon again, strike from about 25-30 yards, deflected onto the crossbar. It looked for everyone that was going in, but it came back out. Both teams probably reasonably happy to go in level at the break. Then Shells, they took a 2-1 lead. Longford's fullbacks on the night, I have to say, John, were absolutely terrorised. And we've spoken about the fullbacks on the show already, the likes of Elworthy. Elworthy in particular was very weak link. Cross came in from the left-hand side. David O'Sullivan unmarked inside the 6-yard box. No surprise when he headed it home, John. 2-1. Then there was a 22-man brawl, as I mentioned.
Excellent, we like those.
Yeah, we like them, but unfortunately Dylan McGlade absolutely lost the plot. That's the only way to describe it. Pushed over a Shelburne player, grabbed one by the neck, red card, can't do that. He's probably going to get at least 3 games, I'd imagine, banned for that. But still Longford fought back. It was that man again, Verdon, a strike from the edge of the box through the entire Shell team, through all the bodies, and it went in. Wild celebrations in the Longford end. Everyone thought they'd rescued a point, but then I just couldn't believe it, John. Peter Hopkins just panicked, went in with a sliding tackle, won the ball, but while he was on the ground, something just clicked in his head. He panicked, grabbed the Shelton's player by the ankle. It was Six Nations stuff. Penalty, David O'Sullivan, hat-trick, good night, game over, Shelburne all 3 points.
Gutted, Kieran.
Oh, heartbreaking.
Look, plenty of talking points from that, Kieran. We've just the man on the show this week.
Yeah, Neil Fenn. So as I said in our intro there, first time I've seen since he took the job that he's come under a bit of criticism. A lot of it very over the top, very harsh in my opinion, but everyone is entitled to their opinion. I'm sure anyone that knows me knows I was more than critical of Tony Cousins during his 7 year reign. But the fact Cousins got 7 years at the club, you know, Neil Fenn's only come in the door and he's trying to do things in a totally different style of play. And I have to say, every game I've gone to, I've enjoyed watching Longford. That wasn't the case under Tony Cousins, even when we were winning games. And it certainly wasn't the case last season under Alan Matthews. So yes, there's major issues defensively. But I think from speaking to Neil personally after matches, he's aware of the issues. At least he can see the issues. Whereas managers in the past almost seemed too stubborn to make changes when it was clear to everyone. So I do think he'll get it right. I think a major issue, the two teams down at the bottom of the First Division, Athlone and Wexford, we spoke about it last week, about the standard, how they're kind of dragging it down for everyone else. Longford went into this game against Shelburne, having played Wexford the week previous, and they played a really gung-ho style. They knew they could afford to do it. They gave up chances against Wexford, but they scored 3 goals, probably should have scored a lot more on the night. They then seemed to carry that attitude into the Shells game, and they were far, far too open. It was almost at times a 4-2-4 formation, John. You can't do that away from home against a team like Shelburne. And we have Galway in 2 weeks' time. We're playing Athlone this week, who don't even have a goalkeeper. We'll speak about that later on.
We will
so
indeed.
So Ireland are going to go in again, gung-ho attitude, and then carry that to Eamon DC Park, because I think you're going to be punished. So Longford really need to find the balance.
Well, look, let's find out. We'll go and speak to the man in charge and ask him these questions.
Yeah, here's Neil Fenn, everybody. So we're delighted to be joined this week once again by the Longford Town manager, Neil Fenn. Neil, you're very welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Thanks for having me on, lads.
So Neil, bitterly disappointing night, Friday night up in Dublin. Shelburne, 3-2 winners, and of course a hat-trick from Longford legend Davy O'Sullivan for the Reds. A fantastic, entertaining game of football, I have to say, but I'm sure you're still bitterly disappointed about how things ended up.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a mixed emotions kind of at the end, because I felt that we played really well, especially first half. And, you know, at the end of it, we've lost and got nothing out of it. But so you're angry with that, but you're also, you know, quite happy that we played well and got ourselves back into the game with 10 men. And then, unfortunately, give away a penalty in stoppage time. So I always look at the positives out of stuff. And, you know, we've gone there and it was a good game, good entertaining game, lots of chances. But, like you say, you can't give penalties away and expect to win games.
And 5 goals conceded in the 3 games, Neil. I imagine you're slightly worried about that.
Yeah, like I say, we need to tighten it up. It's hard because two of those are penalties. You're looking at it like that. One of them was a corner, which you can help. But it's just, you know, the boys know that's not acceptable to be giving goals away. But, you know, when you're trying to attack and when you're trying to take the game to teams, especially early on in the season, sometimes you're going to leave yourself a little bit open. But, you know, we're not the kind of team, we don't want to be the kind of team that's going to sit back and try and defend a draw and a nil-nil. We're going to go and try and attack. So, you know, at the start of the season, possibly a few goals might be shipped.
I know you feel the second half became maybe slightly overstretched on Friday night against Shelburne. At times it almost seemed like the two wingers were right up with the striker and were maybe a little bit open in midfield. Obviously you're playing Athlone next and everyone expects a big win there, but then you're heading into a game against Galway, who have probably just as much firepower as Longford do. So is it all about finding the balance now in the next few weeks?
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes, I mean, we went too long for my liking in the second half, but sometimes, you know, the way the game's going dictates the way players are playing, and I think that's what happened. They got caught up a little bit in the directness of the game in the second half, especially the first half. We were good. We were using our wingers and we were getting around the sides. We were creating chances. Second half, we went a little bit long, and you know that can happen as well. You know, the boys, we ended up getting a goal back to get it to 2-2. So, you know, we know now against Athlone and against Galway, like you say, that you can't be leaving yourself exposed like that in the midfield. But we were trying to get a goal at 2-1 down.
Yeah, just looking at the options for the next match. Obviously, Sam Verne's going to be suspended probably, and Dylan McGlade as well. So, what does it leave you attacking wise, Neil?
Leeds' attacking wise, Peter Hopkins is 50-52. He went off, he got a bad dead leg just before half time. So the second half, he was carrying a dead leg. He's 50-50. It leaves us with Evan Galvin, who is a winger, become sort of number 10. Dean Byrne, who we got from Hardwick, and Chris Mulhall. So we still have three attackers available to us, and possibly, hopefully, Peter as well.
Excellent. And how are you going to prepare for the Athlone match? Have you had them watched? I think they've issues with goalkeeping situation at the moment.
Me and myself and Darren went to the game on Monday against Cabinteely, and we'll prepare for it like every other game. You know, it's just, we're in the League of Ireland First Division, so you have to respect every team that's in the First Division, and we'll respect them. We'll like I say, we're at home. We'll try and attack them. And hopefully get the win.
Be a shoot-on-site policy, Neil?
I've thought about that before, and you're thinking, you know, you don't want players taking stupid shots from 30, 40 yards out just because, you know, there might not be the goalie, and I'm not sure if they are going to have a goalie, proper...
No, judging by comments today in the national press, there was an interview with Aaron Callan, and he said that it's most likely they won't have a regular goalkeeper in nets. Obviously, that could be mind games, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, I saw that. I wouldn't be planning too much for them having no keeper. I'd imagine they could pull a 19s keeper out or something from somewhere. I don't know. But we're not just going to take silly shots from all angles to try and score. Obviously, we're going to try and put them under pressure. Like with any team coming to the city calling, we're going to try and win the game, play aggressively, play attacking football and try and press them and try and win the game.
And sort of the marquee signing there, Darren Meehan, an injured. What is anything serious or?
Twisted in during the game and just tweaked his hamstring. Not sure exactly to the extent. He's having another scan tomorrow, so we're not sure the extent of it. And so at the moment we don't know. We genuinely don't know. I'm hoping it's not a tear of the hamstring. It might just be a tweak. So I'll know more tomorrow. But it'll be a loss because he's done well for us so far.
And Neil, just obviously you took over the club last season, and there was a great, I suppose, euphoria and a lift around the place. It had been quite a dark season for Longford, and then you came in and the new style of football was implemented, the great cup run, and there just seemed to be a general boost around the club. I noticed after Friday's game, it was probably the first time I've seen from Longford fans a small bit of criticism for yourself. Obviously you're a new manager to the league, it's your first job in senior management. How will you deal with that going forward? Obviously, I suppose you could say the honeymoon period is over now, and every game is crucial this year of all years with the new playoff system in place.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's good for fans to be critical. I don't want to be coming off every game and everyone telling us how well we've done. I'm not stupid. I know when we've played well, when we haven't done well. Critical after Friday, I think it's been a little bit harsh.
Yeah.
I thought we played well. If we would have got a 2-2 draw, everyone would have been happy. It was a good game, good entertaining game. Sendings off were not good enough. I've spoken to the boys involved and they know they can't be doing that. The big melees and big people piling on the pitch and all that, I'm not one for them either. So we had a chat about that on Monday, nothing too heavy. Just spoke and told them about what we expect, how we behave on the bench and how we expect our players to behave, which they already knew. So they know that they're out of line. Getting sent off and being unavailable for us for the next few games. I don't know that. In terms of how we played, I think we played okay. I think that, you know, Shells were delighted that they got a penalty in the dying minutes.
Yeah, and of course, obviously, Neil, you want to see fight and grit from your players, especially in a game like the other night where it was a heated game and there was a lot of fair but hard 50-50 tackles going in. And with the style of football your team wants to play, you're probably going to get a lot of opposition teams that will sit deep and look to frustrate and maybe at times take shortcuts. Are you worried at all that your team might be lacking in that maybe strength in midfield, or do you feel that it's just about finding the right balance again, as we spoke about earlier?
No, I think when I spoke to the team before the game, I stressed that Shells were an experienced team. So when you have experienced players and you know, certain things are going your way, not going your way. Experienced players know how to deal with it. When you've got inexperienced players, sometimes, and things are not going your way, like a few decisions in the game, I thought, went against us when they shouldn't have, that the players get a little bit frustrated. And as you get more experienced and more mature, you learn how to deal with it better. Where young lads are, you know, they're frustrated, we're getting in the game, and out of the game. We'll get leveled and we give away, a penalty that I'm not sure about. So the frustration's there building up, and it's just how you deal with it, how you channel it. Older, more experienced players can channel it better and can do things that when the referee's not watching and little things like that slow the game down when the game needs to be slowed down and buy a odd free kick here and there where when you've got younger players, it doesn't come naturally to them.
Neil, just one more thing I wanted to ask you was about the goalkeeping situation. You've gone for new signing Kelly over Jack Brady this season. He's been very good, in my opinion. He's done nothing wrong. Jack's got a battle for the number one shirt this season.
Yeah, well, you want two good goalkeepers. And the lads knew that when I signed Mick. I spoke to both of them. I said, there's no number one here. I said, it all depends how you get on in training and how you get on in pre-season friendlies. And it was tough. It really was tough. And when it comes to who's your number one, you end up splitting hairs about it, and you feel bad when you're explaining it to lads, and you're actually talking about minute details. But that's how close they are. That's how close they really are. So, Jack's been brilliant. He's bided his time. He's doing extra in the gym and everything else, and he's practicing his kicking and his distribution and everything else. So, as they both are, so it really is hard to pick between. There could have been an argument for both. We could be playing both. We've got two excellent young keepers at the club, which is great for us. I know it's frustrating for the players or for the keeper who's not playing. And unfortunately, in the first division, you don't play that many games, so it is frustrating. But you're just trying to say to them, look, just bide your time. We need you. Keep yourself fit. You're doing nothing wrong. It's just splitting hairs at the end of the day.
And finally, Neil, it's been fantastic to see the club doing a lot more community work recently. You've been involved heavily in that, visiting local schools. Do you think that's been a boost to the club? Attendances do seem to be slightly up on recent years, so it looks like it's having a positive impact.
I think so. We visited the schools before the Wexford game, just trying to get a few lads into the game against Wexford, and we will do that a good few times now coming up during the season and get involved more in that. We need the local community to get behind us and come out to the games and cheer the team on. The atmosphere at the Wexford game, even though it wasn't a huge crowd, it just felt, the kids there, they seemed excited. It was a good game. There was three goals in the game, and exciting, a few posts being hit and everything else. So it was really good, and hopefully they come out more.
You'll be delighted to know, Neil, I managed to get a first win for my Arda under 13, so I've no need for your expert knowledge anymore. We know everything now.
Yeah, brilliant. Glad to hear it.
Good man, Neil. Thanks again, as always.
Thanks very much, Neil.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers, Neil.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
Great to hear from Neil Fenn there, Kieran. And moving on to his opponents at the weekend, Athlone, they went down 3-1 at home to UCD. That man, Georgie Kelly, getting on the score sheet with two of the goals.
Yeah, good to see Georgie Kelly finally getting off the mark. You're expecting UCD now to carry that form on the next few weeks. They've had a decent start to the season, I must say. We'll speak about the two Athlone games, I suppose, back-to-back. They played on Monday against Cabinteely, John, and the big story there was they had no goalkeeper in the starting lineup.
Yeah, Kieran.
Well, they had a goalkeeper, but he was an outfield player, is what I should say.
Look, we spoke to Neil there about him, about them maybe pulling an under-19 keeper. My understanding is they can't do that.
He has to be registered, yeah.
Surely they should have registered three keepers at the beginning of the season.
Sure. I'm just wondering, is it a thing to do? Would they have had to pay this player expenses if he was registered in the first team? But even I know from a Longford point of view, when I went to the pre-season games, the third choice goalkeeper was something Neil Fenn took extremely seriously. He had two or three different under-19 goalkeepers from other clubs. I think there was someone that was with Sligo last year, someone that was with Dundalk, and he trialled them and tried them out in games. So at loan, they have no excuses. I know Aaron Callaghan's come out in the media and he's been very critical of the fact that he can't just pull a 19s or 17s goalkeeper and bring them up, and that he can't bring in an emergency goalkeeper because at loan are an amateur club and the FAI rules permit that. But as you said, they knew the rules when it started. They should have had another goalkeeper ready, especially when you consider one of the goalkeepers is unavailable because he's away for a couple of weeks in the army. Surely they knew if he was in the army, he was going to be called away at some stage.
I'm not sure he knew his players, never mind what they did for a living, Kieran, to be honest.
That could be very true.
Some might say this is one of the typical greatest league in the world moments.
No,
but
to
me, it's just a shambles. It's embarrassing for the league. Having said that, that match against Cabinteely, they only lost 2-1, and they were in the match for a long time, you know. But and that obviously doesn't say too much about Cavendish, but it's just, to me, it's just a shambles for completion. Jake O'Connor with a goal for Athlone, Cavendish's goal through Conor Keely and Joe Doyle.
Yeah, well, we're going to be speaking after this results segment. We'll be speaking about the image of the First Division. I know Stephen Henderson, who was supposed to be on tonight's show, but unfortunately there was a bereavement in Cove, someone very close to the club, and Stephen is representing the club there tonight. So fair play to him on that. It's a nice touch, and condolences to everyone at Cove. But he tweeted after the whole Athlone situation, where it all came out that they had an outfield player in goals, that he said, this First Division, every time we try to push it forward, somebody's letting it down, and it's a real kick in the you-know-what. So we'll have a little chat after, because there's been a couple of incidents in the last few weeks, John, in the First Division, where things are just, as you said, people are calling it greatest league in the world, but there's nothing funny about it, really. On Athlone, I wrote a match preview earlier for the Longford Town website on the game, and I said that, strangely enough, despite losing to Cavendish last time out, it will actually be a morale boosting result, because they only lost 2-1 with an outfield player in goal.
Sure.
And after the opening game against Galway, Aaron Callaghan made 7 changes for his next team selection, and the one after that he made 6 changes. So I think we'll see a more settled side this week. I think it'll be very similar to the one that played against Cavendish. But obviously, with the goalkeeping situation, you're probably talking how much Longford are going to win by, as opposed to what the result may be.
One man on fire, Kieran, going onwards. Danny Furlong, he's at it again. 2 goals in their 3-1 victory, in Galway's 3-1 victory over Cavendish there. Joe Doyle again with a goal there for Cavendish. But Galway flying, and that man Furlong seems unstoppable.
Give him the golden boot now, John. Barring injury, that man is going to easily hit 20+. I think he got 29, if not 30 goals the year Wexford Utes won the First Division, so it wouldn't surprise me at all, especially the way Galway play. They're a real gung-ho side, a bit like Longford, although they seem to have the balance a bit more than Longford had early in the season, and it'll be a hugely interesting tie when those two teams meet in a fortnight's time in Eamon DC Park. But yeah, Galway looking really good going forward, a little bit leaky at the back, similar to Longford, but I think when you look at all the First Division, the top sides, that seems to be the issue. I know Harps had a 2-0 win this weekend and kept a clean sheet, which will be a great boost to them. But even when they played their EA Sports Cup tie last week, 4-0 up, and it only ended up winning 4-3 against Mayo League. So it does point to a leaky defence there. UCD not keeping clean sheets. Drogheda conceded 1 against Wexford this weekend. So not a lot of clean sheets going around the division. But Galway do seem to be the most consistent side at the moment, John.
Yeah, they're looking promising for the league, I have to say. But that's very harsh on Drogheda there, conceding 1. They scored 8, Kieran, in an 8-1 demolition of Wexford. I'm not going to go through the goal scorers. Lee Duffy got a hat-trick. Look, Kieran, I was very critical about Wexford last week. Players unfit.
Yeah.
And I knew it would show through at some stage, and it did at home to Drogheda.
And at home
8-1,
as well.
8-1 should not be happening in any league.
No.
That's
no.
An embarrassment.
No, well, we've seen 8-0 in the Premier Division, so I suppose Wexford have outperformed Limerick in that sense. But 8-1 at home, you really have to wonder where Wexford go from here, don't you?
Well, to me, they need to drop a few of the players for a start. You know, if you can't get yourself fit for a League of Ireland season, it's not worth turning up. But 8-1's an embarrassment. And, you know, between them and Athlone, there's going to be a real battle for the wooden spoon.
Yeah, and just from a Drogheda point of view, it's impossible to gauge how good this Drogheda team might be, because they played Athlone in the first game, won 6-0. They played their second game against a woeful Wexford side. I know I actually gave a bit of praise to Wexford here last week for trying to play the right way against Longford, and been quite good going forward, even though they didn't score at the City Colin Stadium. Aaron Dobbs did have a couple of chances, but he seems to be really himself, and Dean Kelly, who got the goal this week, all the pressure seems to be on their shoulders. But defensively against Longford, they were woeful. That showed up here against Drogheda. And as you said, it's going to be a real battle for who avoids bottom spot between those two clubs again this season.
Yeah, yeah. Look, disappointing for me. The fact that, you know, I thought Wexford might have a better season this year, but it's certainly not looking that way. Cove 0, Harps 2. Harps setting the stall out well this season. 2-0 at a decent Cove side. John O'Flynn amongst the goals.
Yeah, great to see John O'Flynn getting a goal. A League of Ireland legend in all sense, really. And to keep a clean sheet away to Cove, that's a real statement of intent, if you ask me, John.
Yeah, absolutely. Promising. However, Kieran O'Connor with a second goal. Little bit of trouble up at Harps, allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. I'm sure you might have seen it. I'm sure you've probably seen videos circulating on social media. And there was an article today, and I think it was the Donegal Sports Hub, it might have been... it's a legend that the two O'Connor brothers, both of course former Dundalk players, they're Dundalk natives and currently at Finn Harps, Michael O'Connor, who is on loan from Shamrock Rovers, and Kieran O'Connor, who is permanently with the club, both allegedly arrested over the weekend regarding, I suppose, what you could say, their behaviour on a night out over the bank holiday weekend. And Ollie Horgan certainly doesn't seem like the type of man that'll take that thing lightly, John.
Ollie is going to go bonkers with this one, Kieran.
Very poor image for the club, especially when you consider the fantastic community work Harps have been doing in recent years. I know I wrote an article on it there recently and spoke to a number of people involved with Finn Harps on the likes of their road safety campaign, healthy eating in the schools. Really, really good stuff, and a lot of it aimed at youngsters. And when you see this type of thing, you know, these players are meant to be role models. It's not a good image for the club, and I'm sure Ollie Horgan will deal with that in-house.
Lads with promising careers ahead of them, Kieran. You know, at that age, you know.
Yeah, Michael O'Connor linked with a move to Rotherham in the summer. We actually spoke about that on last week's show.
Yeah.
If they see this type of behaviour, I'm sure they're not going to touch him with a barge pole.
Absolutely not. That would be first thing to put clubs out. Look, again, it's just another embarrassment for the First Division as far, and especially an embarrassment for Hearts.
Yeah, I suppose you do see these type of instances, though, even in the top level, the Premier League in England. You know, we've heard of the likes of some of the Sunderland players. Obviously this season we've seen the West Brom players, their incident allegedly robbing the taxi over in Barcelona. So things do happen on nights out, but as we said, Ollie Horgan doesn't seem to be the type of man that will take this line down, and it'll be interesting to see whether the two lads appear in the match day squad this weekend.
I don't think there's any excuse for it though, Kieran.
No,
I mean, 100%. it's just appalling. If you look at the video, it just looks appalling, and for two lads that are supposed to be role models for kids, It's really poor. But
just, we don't want to go and taken away from Harps' victory there, so we'll touch on it again, John. 2-0,
exactly.
Clean sheet, and against a Cove side that were in good form.
Yeah, look, there's a few sides that are going to be really... it's going to be a good battle at the top, Kieran. I know you've said that the First Division is going to be the one to watch. Harps, Drogheda, Galway all look very, very good. Longford are certainly going to have a battle this season with those with the form that those three teams are in. So... it all promises to be to build up for some a good battle at the top, and the playoffs coming in has been a great thing.
And just considering obviously the grueling journey Harps had to make there, and the fact that they have less match practice under the belt given their early postponements, first three games were all called off, that is an even more impressive result. So well done to Finn Harps on a big win this weekend.
Before we move on though, Kieran, you know, let's just have a little chat about the image of the First Division, because it's taken a battering from the likes of Athlone. I've talked about, you know, unfit players. Now this incident with the guys from Harps.
Don't forget the floodlights in Drogheda.
Floodlights in Drogheda failing. Yeah, yeah, you know.
And we didn't even mention there during our roundup, actually, Athlone game against UCD, delayed by 15 minutes because Athlone got the team sheet wrong four times, John.
I thought you were going to say crowd congestion then.
then during the game, the floodlights went out. In the first half, there was 15 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's just not good enough, is it?
No, it's not good enough. And the FBI need to start taking action against clubs. I know we don't want to push clubs out of the league by putting heavy fines on them that they can't pay. They're already struggling to meet ends meet. But I think it's going to get to the point where points deductions are going to have to come in, because how often are we going to see floodlight failures in this league?
I'll put it the other way as well. If the FAI fully funded the First Division as well, it would make a difference, Kieran.
Yeah, and I think as well, at the bottom of the First Division, the biggest issue is that there's nothing really to play for. If you're going to finish 7th or 8th, what difference does it make? You're not going to be relegated. It was fantastic when the A Championship was alive and kicking that we had the playoffs at the end. Obviously, when Mervy and Salt Hill came into the league, I know they probably didn't add a lot, with all respect, but it was great that the teams down the bottom at the time had something to play for and fight for. That would make it an even more exciting First Division, but competition-wise, I suppose, that's the big letdown about the First Division.
Well, we've talked in previous shows, haven't we, about a pyramid structure similar. You look at the divisions up in the north of Ireland, and there's a great structure there, and there's no reason why that can't be done here, Kieran. Provided the leagues were properly funded.
Yeah, well, that's the biggest issue, John. Funding isn't, because no junior team is going to want... I know we've seen Cabinteely come in recent years, but they have the youth system there, the academy system, to support that. Obviously, players paying big subscription fees to be a member of that club, and I suppose that's probably what backs it. And now that they're in the League of Ireland, they're able to get more sponsorship and more people involved with the club. But overall, a junior club isn't going to come in. They're going to have to get their ground up to a certain nick. they're going to have to pay a mad entrance fee. I think it's 17,000 or something for the first division, whereas the prize money for win is only 25,000. So you're running at a loss every year, John, and that's not good enough.
The FAI aren't that cash strapped that couldn't be waived for new clubs for a few seasons just to encourage.
But then the argument I always get when I say that maybe, you know, waive the entrance fee, people say, well, if a club can't afford to pay 17,000, then they probably aren't going to survive in the League of Ireland anyway.
Yeah, but it's a lot of money for a junior club, Kieran. Mm. So, I mean, look, you either want a proper structure in place or you don't. So, you know, for me, it's down to the FAI to fund it better and encourage more teams to get involved. It's as simple as that.
Do the clubs need to take more responsibility, though? I mean, just even small things. Like, I noticed when Longford were playing Wexford 2 weeks ago, the Wexford goalkeeper was wearing a Wexford youth jersey, while the rest of his teammates were wearing a Wexford FC jersey. And I seen a couple of Wexford fans giving out, they were tweeting Soccer Republic saying, stop calling us Wexford Utes every week, it's Wexford FC. But if the club can't get their own house in order and get their players properly kitted out, how do you expect others to recognise it, you know?
Well, indeed. And we had the situation with Galway's kit as well, didn't we?
Yeah, they're playing in the Connacht FA jersey, I think it was, during the week for their EA Sports Cup game against Cockhill, because their home jersey hasn't arrived yet, which is probably not the club's fault, in all fairness, but it's just something you don't really see in other leagues going on. So, again, it's just lack of professionalism around the place.
Exactly. So, look, to sum up, you know, there are some disappointing things, which is a shame, because on the pitch, there's some good clubs in that division, and we could be on for a real ding-dong at the top of the table.
I think we're on for probably one of the most exciting first division seasons ever. I just wish that at the bottom we weren't seeing these 8-1, 6-0 scorelines, because it probably is, you know, that we're going to see a crazy goal differences, really. I know fans want that, but do you really want to go and watch 6-1s, 7-1s every week?
It's a bit pointless, really, isn't it?
A bit pointless, really, yeah. So hopefully we're going to see an improvement in that regard in the coming weeks. But we'll move along now, folks, and on to the Premier Division results from the weekend.
Okay, Kieran, well, we're going to start off with a big match, big Dublin match, Shamrock Rovers against St Pat's. It's fair to say, Kieran, it wasn't a classic.
And it's fair to say that St Pat's were absolutely woeful, John.
Okay, well, let's look at that first. They were very, very defensively set up. They quite clearly came for a 0-0, and that was it. There was no attacking intents. They offered next to nothing. Why, Kieran?
I've never seen that before from a Liam Buckley side, though. They were playing such long, direct hoofball. I haven't seen that before. I don't think they created a single chance in the game, John, in all honesty. You mentioned there that Rovers maybe weren't much better, but they tried to play the right way. And they deserved to win it in the end. And it was a big win for Rovers, considering the poor form they had in that head-to-head fixture last season.
Yeah, to me, Kieran, I know you're probably going to say otherwise, but Rovers are starting to look the real deal for me. He made the right decision. He changed the goalkeeper for this match.
Yeah, right decision.
Yeah, we spoke about that coming back in, and we know he's not the best keeper in the world, but he's certainly
better than Morgan. Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This could have been a lot more than 1-0. Mm. Mele made a howler of a mess of a header, you know, after a decent move.
Just going to go to that chance, because I was watching the highlights earlier, John. Did you notice the lack of pressure on the ball from the St. Pat's players? It was almost as if they were walking. I know we've heard this term come out lately, Gary Neville absolutely slaughtering sides on Sky recently, that they were playing walking football, but Pat certainly were.
Yeah, they just didn't look up for this match at all. No. And I don't know what the team instructions were beforehand, but you know, they could find themselves in trouble. I mean, we tipped them to do quite well this season, didn't we? And They've shown nothing.
Even
this
the
match.
Experienced players, Owen Garvin, pushed off the ball so easily for one of the chances that Rovers had in that highlights package that I watched. They haven't seemed to just step up, and obviously Fagan had a poor season last season. Everyone expected him to do a lot better this season, but we're not seeing it. So, John, we're probably going to get absolutely slaughtered for saying this from St. Pat's fans, but are we soon going to see the debate coming up that we've seen all of last season about Liam Buckley and his future at the club?
I think it's already there, Kieran, to be honest. I mean, Rovers had plenty of chances this match. Graham Burke, you know, he scored 4 goals the other, but none this time. You know, effort straight at the keeper, hit one wide, as did Mele. But, you know, Rovers finally got their a deserved lead, and it came from a Kevin Toner own goal. And
a man who's out of form as well. He gave away a penalty in the last, it was against Bohemians. He gave the penalty away against mistake here. A player we expected a lot more of, and I guess we had on the show, and spoke a really high game, but just hasn't performed yet.
No,
so far.
He's not doing anything so far, is he? Buckley's going to come under pressure. Mm. You know, we know that there are fans won't, it won't take long for them to turn on Buckley. Yeah. I know he's a bit of a legend down there, but, you know, he went a long time without doing well last season, yeah, didn't he?
Probably lucky to keep his, I think it was reputation that kept that job there last season.
But surely not another relegation battle this season for Pats.
No. I think you probably remember, John, last season I compared it to the Arsenal situation. And every time I see Pats, Sam, when they're in these kind of poor spells, it just reminds me so much of what's going on at Arsenal with Arsene Wenger. Things just seem to have gone stale there, John. I'm watching them and there just doesn't seem to be a reaction from the players in big games like this. And I really do think it's time for change there.
Yeah, yeah. But take nothing away from Rovers. They were decent enough, Kieran. And,
yeah, you feel they're getting closer, John. I wouldn't totally row him behind that opinion yet. I think a big thing for Rovers in the last couple of weeks, we've seen the likes of Mila, Burke, and Dan Carr, their new signing, really step up their game and take games by the scruff of the neck. But they're going to have to do that in the big games. And until I see them beat someone like a Dundalk, like a Cork, even Waterford, who they have this weekend in the live game, I'm not going to be convinced.
No, well, we'll see on that. But for me, they're starting to look good going forward. Finn's pulling the strings. You know, who knows, Kieran? Who knows? But look, we'll move on anyway. It's a debate that we could go on forever with that one. But the other team that are Dublin team struggling at the moment are Bowes. So they were held 2-2 at home to Sligo. Owen Stokes got a cracking goal.
A beauty of a goal, yeah. Is he just starting to come into his own now? Obviously, he's only new to the league. Fitness didn't look maybe up there at the start of the season, but finally got a start for Bowes and made his contribution.
Yeah, David Cawley equalised in that match, 1-1 from a header. And another header to put Bowes in front. Ian Morris headed in from a corner.
Well worked goal, back post, diving header. Well worked goal from Bowes.
And Kieran, who equalised for Sligo?
Yeah, man, you said that you couldn't see doing much in this league, haven't seen him at your beloved Yeovil Town. Adam Morgan with an absolute cracking volley, John.
Yeah, I am eating my words. I said he wasn't the answer. But
I think that's 4 and 6 now, is it?
Yeah, and to be fair, most have been tap-ins, but this was a...
Yeah, I think every goal is coming from inside the box, but Robbie Fowler called him the best finisher he's ever seen, so maybe he's just one of them goal poachers.
Well, Kieran, it'd be nice to finally see him sort of like fulfil some of that potential, you know. You know, I don't know what's been the problem in the past. I think that Robbie Fowler thing didn't do him any favours.
Probably
because that's quoted no matter what club he's been at. And there may have been struggling. He may have struggled to settle in places, which I found a little strange for him coming over to Sligo. But he seems to settle in very well, doesn't he?
And Sligo certainly need the goals from somewhere because I don't think there's a lot of goals in that side elsewhere when you look at it.
Yeah, and you'd still worry about their the defence.
The defence, but again, a man that we mention almost every week for Sligo, and we did last season when he was with Harps, McAleer played a huge role in Sligo's result.
Yeah, good player. He's been a good signing for Sligo. So
we'll be speaking, folks, to Shaunie Fitzgerald a little bit later on during our previews for the weekend, so keep ready for that. He's a bold fan and a very passionate interview with himself earlier on, so we'll play that for you shortly.
The other match that Bowes played, they went to Cork, and to be fair to them, they didn't have too bad a game, but they were just undone by
the class of Cork, really.
Yeah, Bowes didn't help themselves with the defending, really hesitant stuff, and I think it had to be the slowest dribbling goal I've ever seen from Kieran, and it was a deflected effort that put them 1-0 up, Cork, and then an inexplicable handball from Rob Colwell.
What was he doing?
I think he thought he was playing volleyball or something.
Yeah,
completely.
He was probably lucky not to get sent off because it was as deliberate as day when you look at it.
Can't give Cork a penalty because you know what sadly it'll do.
Yeah,
2-0 in that case. McNamee went a free, just went wide. Bowes had a couple of chances, but I have to say Cork defended very, very well. Stokes blasted over, where on another day, as we saw against, against Sligo, he'd have put it in. Cork bodies on the line. Yeah. They were blocking everything at the back. Some really good defending from them.
And Shepherd rounded it off beautifully with that free kick at the end.
Yeah, great free kick, 3-0 after Cummins had blasted over a great chance before that. So, to me, a couple of things from that match. Bowes, are they in bother?
I don't think so, John. I think losing to Cork is no shame. They started the game well, but Cork soon figured out where they were going wrong. Good tactical adjustments by John Caulfield. Cork just had too much firepower in the end, and especially when you see that Cummins didn't get on the score sheet for once, and you know Sadler, Shepherd, they've all chipped in. So that's a real positive sign for Cork, and that the pressure isn't going to all be on Cummins this season. Bowes play Bray at the weekend. If they win that, they're back up to mid-table. That's where I think they'll be this season. I think the reaction has been over the top from that result, in all honesty.
Just one thing from that match as well. McNulty in the Cork goal. Extremely, extremely shaky that match.
And he has been since the season. Obviously, we've seen the mistake he made against Dundalk. He seems to be struggling under the high ball tremendously. And we've seen a couple of incidents that against Bowes. So, yeah, obviously Peter Cherry has come in there to challenge him. I don't think under any circumstances that we'll see John Caulfield drop such an experienced goalkeeper. Cork probably have the defence that they can afford to have a goalkeeper that has a few shaky moments in him.
I'm not being funny, Kieran. We've seen how goalkeeping errors can affect teams in Europe.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking of Dundalk with mistakes from Rodgers Warsaw, wasn't it? Sava against
Zenit,
wasn't it? Yeah. So, you know, you have to, your goalkeeper has to be on the game. And that can be the difference between,
Dundalk, yeah.
Well, the difference between getting through a round rather than being knocked out.
Good point. I'm glad you've raised that, John. So we'll keep an eye on that as the weeks progress.
Yeah, moving on anyway. Cork also played at Limerick. That was a 1-1 draw. I have to say, decent performance from Limerick.
Yeah, probably the biggest upset result of the weekend, and a fantastic goal from Billy Dennehy. He still has the pace, that's for sure.
Yeah. Mixed fortunes for the Dennehy brothers, though, because it was Darren that gave away the penalty, Kieran, for the equaliser. We know sadly he's going to say, how many penalties has he scored now? Four, is it?
Yeah, and all in quick succession as well, haven't they? Yeah. But what a great little Panenka down the middle.
Yeah, exactly. A little digged penalty. Mm. I like seeing those. If the keeper saves it, though, you'd be criticising him all day when you get hammered, yeah. But one keeper that seems to be doing well at the moment, Brendan Clark, he saved well from Morrissey. Sean Kelly Thunderbolt was well saved. Look, Limerick were decent. They bounced back well.
Yeah, and I really do think they've had a decent start to the season. Obviously, that 8-1 is always going to be a massive blot on the copybook. But overall, when you compare them to Bray, everything that went on at Limerick in the off-season, so much turmoil, new manager in there, rookie manager, they're doing okay. They look like they should be well ahead of Bray. Everyone would have taken a playoff spot. But after this result and some of the other results they've had recently, Limerick fans can start looking higher up that table and saying, why can't we finish ahead of Sligo, Bowes, etc. So, good start to the season for Limerick.
Talking about Bray, they went to Derry, Kieran, and Derry looking the business at the Brandywell.
But they've beaten Limerick and Bray, John. Are we getting carried away?
Okay, 5-1 this one, Kieran. Derry fresh off that 5-0 win. They got off to a perfect shot. Deflected effort that went in 1-0. Ronan Hale missed a sitter, really.
One of the misses of the season, John.
Yeah, but again, poor goalkeeping from Bray there.
Yeah. Dylan's had a little shaky spell in the last few weeks. A young goalkeeper, so probably expected when you're conceding fives and sixes in quick succession, you're probably going to see a little bit of nerves from a young goalkeeper like that, because he had a good start to the season, John, for a new man into the league. I think he's only 19 years of age. So,
well, from this performance, Kieran, he's going to be a very, very busy keeper, because this was all Derry. McInniff forced a decent save from him. Ronan Curtis, he tipped over a decent effort from Curtis. It really was all Derry. Okay. Nicky Lowe sent off for a high tackle, Kieran.
Yeah, Bray in probably I know he was probably the last man, but he was still a long way from goal, so a lot to do. But it was for the intent of the tackle, high foot studs into the side of the Bray player. So,
you'd have thought that'd have given Bray hope.
I was just going to say that Kenny Shields' post match interview, he said it actually suited Derry, because Bray then, they said, oh, hang on, we have a chance in the game here where we're getting absolutely overrun. We might as well throw the kitchen sink at this now. It was the wrong way to go about it, because Derry absolutely punished them.
Yeah, and to be fair, Bray couldn't defend against the long ball, which to me is just basic. And
especially when you have a big defender back there like Hugh Douglas, you expect Bray to be doing a lot better. But they just totally lost their shape, and they seen the chance to go and attack and just didn't do it in a balanced manner. And Derry punished them, as we said.
They were awful, and I think we're going to be saying that a few times this season. Yeah, I'll just go through it, Kieran. The long ball to Curtis made it 2-0. Another long ball caused absolute havoc at the Bray defence. Penalty, and we saw that cheeky chip from McNiff to make it 3-0. I just can't see how Bray played so bad against 10 men, Kieran. Ronan Hale made it 4. Consolation from Sean Heaney, 4-1. David Hopkirk made it 5. Look, it's going to be a long, long season for Bray.
Yeah, just on the Derry perspective, good to see Ronan Hale starting to pick up some real form in the last few weeks. A man a lot expected of him there. And as we said, with other sides, you know, you don't all the pressure been on one man. So good to see the pressure been taken off of Roy Patterson there. New Brandywell looked fantastic. Hopefully Derry can continue this form. But as I said, they've only beaten Limerick and Bray in the last two there. So you don't want to get too carried away with things yet.
But yeah, it's promising, Kieran. I think they'll be okay. They have to sort out the defensive frailties, but you know, it looks like they're hopefully going to make the Brandywell a
fortress.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a great stadium, Kieran.
Yeah, fantastic, John.
Yeah, finish off. Dundalk 1-0. This was our match of the. This was our previewed match of the weekend, wasn't it? And it turned out to be a close one. It was marked first of all by the 500th appearance for Gary Rogers.
Yeah, a man that we've had on the show on numerous occasions. Absolute gentleman to deal with. Been a great servant to Dundalk and many other clubs in this league. I actually found it strange. I was just looking at his stats the other day when I seen he had made the 500. He's made more appearances for Drogheda than he has for Dundalk. I'm sure he'll change that in the coming years because he's going to be around for another while. Yeah, and he seems to be getting better with age, John. Made a very, very crucial save in this one.
He did, yeah. Look, daily hit over the bar for Waterford after a good move started by that man Houlihan. He's getting a really tasty signing. Yeah, another signing that looks very, very decent in goals. So it's strange we're talking about a decent goalkeeper. This man Vigorok here, and
when I've been watching the highlights of recent weeks, one thing I've noticed: a lot of his saves are coming from very, very long range shots. The only kind of criticism I'd have of him, he seems to be pushing them into an open area, and he got away with that when Pat Hoban tapped in, but the flag went up for offside. Very, very tight call, hard to see whether it was or not, but maybe that's just one little weakness in this game. But he's certainly been a busy man. I know Waterford's defence has been quite decent since they've come up, but he is facing a lot of long range shots. So
yeah, they were well in the game of this. He saved well from Chevdoukas and Massey as well. A good diving save from
just
him.
On Chevdoukas, John, seems to be a man who's really grown into it week by week now that he's got his fitness behind him.
Yeah, I think sometimes with these foreign signings, it can take a little while for them to gel and get used to the league and maybe the language barrier, all that kind of thing. You have to get past. But yeah, looks decent enough. A man that we're not seeing too much from this season, Duffy. I know you've been critical of him in the past. He had a good turn and shot. Massive then blasted over. You talked about Pat Hoban's tapping from an offside position, and he had another great chance after that. He headed over and went on.
Yeah, really surprising miss from Pat Hoban. Usually great in the air, but yeah, that was a surprising one.
Yeah, cruel, cruel look on Waterford at the end. Duffy made a great run, great cross, put into his own goal from Waterford.
Yeah, I think
it was cruel on the result, you know, cruel on them, I thought. But,
yeah, Hoban probably wasn't going to miss again. He was going to be on the end of that cross, and I don't think he would have made the same mistake twice, but the defender had to make a decision. He's gone for it, hasn't worked out, but as you said, it's cruel on Waterford.
Yeah, but look, take nothing against them. You know, they've started the season well. They won't be too deterred by a 1-0 defeat at Dundalk. You know, it's still they're without a couple of key players. Look, the season's all to play for them. I question your wisdom about whether there can be title challenges. I still think that's a long way off, Kieran, for a team that's just promoted. But
European challenges, though, John?
Yeah, possibly, Kieran. Possibly.
Because I know from listening to Johnny McDonald in Soccer Republic, he made the comment that Waterford, their focus should be to pick up as many points as they can early in the season, and they should be fine. Waterford aren't coming up here to try and stay up above Bray and Limerick.
Not with they're the setup they've got.
They're here to challenge for Europe. They're a full-time team. They've spent big money. Bastian Heria, we've praised him so much on this show. He looks to be one of the best midfielders in the league. We've just spoken about Houlihan.
Yeah.
Akinade hasn't got off the mark yet. They've brought in a new goalkeeper. There's so many good players in that Waterford side.
Yeah.
Absolute rubbish. They're not here just to stay up. They're here to challenge for Europe.
Kieran, you're arguing with a Soccer Republic pundit again. So,
get me on the show.
There was one more match, Kieran. Rovers, like I said, starting to look the job. Tighter at the back. They won 1-0 at Limerick, Kieran. I know you don't think too much of Limerick this season, but remember, they did hold Cork. Graham Burke with a penalty for that one. Kavanagh sent off late on.
Yeah, probably a promising display from Limerick again, I'd say. Rovers definitely just deserved to nick it in the end. Hard luck on Limerick, but yeah, Rovers deserve to win it. You think they're going to be the real deal. I think, as I said, they have to be a big team for me to row in behind that. But it's certainly it's shaping up nicely at the top, John.
Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half. BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
Okay, Kieran, now we're going to move on to our previews of the fixtures coming up this weekend. We're going to start with doing the First Division first, Kieran. The top clash there is Drogheda at home to Galway.
Yeah, so as we said, very hard to gauge whether Drogheda are the real deal yet, having only beaten Athlone and Wexford. Well, I should say beaten the hammered both of those sides. Galway, they're certainly the real deal, but need to tighten up defensively, as we've mentioned. Drogheda look to have the firepower. You mentioned their Lee Duffy earlier on, a hat-trick at the weekend. So certainly the opportunity for goals for both sides here. What we'll do this week, John, we'll have a little prediction game. El Clasico coming up the weekend, of course, and it's my birthday, so I'd be expecting you to buy me a couple of pints, but we'll keep account this weekend on the predictions, and whoever has the highest come Saturday afternoon owes the first round in.
Perfect. Okay, Kieran, so you know how bad my predictions are, don't you?
How are we going on this one?
I can see it being an expensive afternoon. Right, I'm going Galway away win.
I'll go Galway away win also.
Well, you know. Right, okay. Come here. Next match, Harps at home to Wexford. So, Harps decent
move
start. Okay,
sorry.
Home win.
Very harsh.
Very, very harsh. Number three, UCD at home to Cabo.
Yeah, UCD. I mean, Cabo have had a very, very poor start to the season. Scraped by an Athlone team that didn't even have a recognised goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Only one way that's going, I'm sorry.
And Georgie Kelly's started to hit a bit of form as well. So, look, home win as well.
What's going to happen here, John, if we both have the same predictions the whole way down?
We'll both buy pints. Shells at home to Cove, Kieran.
Ooh, that's a tough one to call now. So, David O'Sullivan in hot form. Hat-trick there. Got off the mark in the week previous. So, he has four goals already. Cove, disappointing home defeat against Harps last time out. They'll be looking to bounce back away from that.
Is this the match that separates us? Because I'm going for a home win.
No, because I'm going to follow you with the home win, because I just think that win against Longford, a real turning point. There was a real good atmosphere in the ground, something we haven't seen in Talca due to the supporters' boycotts and the likes of that. I think a lot of people are going to start rowing in behind this Shells team again, because if that's what their games are like every week, I'd certainly go and watch them. Really entertaining stuff. Couple of good players there in the side, so Shells win for me.
Yeah, agreed, Kieran. And finally, Longford at home to Athlone. We've talked a lot about this. Neil Fenn, I'm not going to dwell on it. Home win.
Yeah, what we'll do here, John, because I think we both know we're both going to go for a home win here. We'll go for a score prediction on this in case we need to split it. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll include the Premier previews in this as well.
Yeah.
In case we need to split it along with
5-0.
So Longford won 7-1 last season. Athlone have lost 6 already. I don't know. I think it's going to be added pressure for Longford.
Any chance you can make a decision, Kieran? You're as bad as last week.
I think it could be added pressure, the fact that Athlone have no goalkeeper. Everyone, you know, we spoke with Neil earlier on and said, you're going to be shooting from crazy angles. He said no. I don't think it'll be a demolition job. I think 4-0 Longford. Gonna regret that, aren't
you? Okay, so I'm hoping for 5 or 6. Sorry, Athlone fans out there, but Premier League, Kieran. My top match is Waterford against Shamrock Rovers, Kieran.
Yeah, big game live on the television from the IRC. Waterford, great start to the season. Very, very unlucky last time out against Dundalk. So they've proven that they can defend as well as attack. Rovers, you feel they're starting to just pick up the results now that they can make them the real deal. The 1-0 results would definitely suggest that. But Waterford at the RC, looking like it could be a sold-out fixture, John, which is absolutely fantastic. I think they'd get something from this one. Haven't called a draw yet, so I'm just going to throw it in there, a draw.
Well, I'm going to go for an away win on this, Kieran. I've said I'm starting to like the look of Rovers. I think it's going to be tight. I think it's probably going to be another 1-0.
Yeah, very.
Or 2-1, something like that.
Yeah,
but
it could be.
I'm going for an away win with that one. Next match, Sligo with the on-fire Adam Morgan against Dundalk.
Ooh, I know Sligo haven't had the best of starts, but as you said, Morgan there picking up some form. Be an interesting battle to see him against Dan Cleary, two former Liverpool players there. So that's a tasty little one, something you don't see every day in the league. Dundalk, not sure if you noticed how vigorously they celebrated that win against Waterford. It was almost like, you know, we're really in it this year. We're not having that poor start we had last year.
Come on, man, we haven't got all night.
Yeah, I'll go Dundalk.
Well, I'm going to go Dundalk as well, because I think Sligo are a little too sloppy at the back, and I think Dundalk will have too much for them.
I suppose when you think back to that game against Cork, how poor Sligo were at the back, you're looking at a similar kind of proposition here. I think, yeah, Dundalk could probably pick up some opportunities there.
Okay, this is going to be another tough one, Kieran, because St. Pat's host Limerick. If they go out with the same attitude that they went out with against Rovers last week, they're going to struggle with this one.
But
what do you think?
Limerick's away form, it's always going to be in the back of their mind. Are we going to take another heavy beating here like we did against Dundalk? Pats have to bounce back. If we don't, we will really see the pressure starting to pile on Liam Buckley. So I'm going to back his players here to get him out of a hole. I'm going to go for St. Pat's win.
Yeah, agreed with that one. And then finally, we have Bowes against Bray. Home win.
Home win. What we'll do again, we'll both give score predictions for this one in case it comes down to it. So I'm going to go for 3-0 Bowes.
Oh, I'm going to go 3-1, Kieran.
Oh, okay. With that, folks, we're going to link you to our final interview of the evening. Shawnee Fitzgerald, Bohemian supporters. So thanks for listening, and we'll just give you a wee shout out to everyone at the end. But enjoy this interview. Thanks very much, folks. So we're delighted as ever to have a fan on the podcast. We love to give fans the opportunity to speak alongside players and managers from this league. And this week we're joined by Shawnee Fitzgerald, who is a Bohemians season ticket holder. Shawnee, you're very welcome to the show.
Cheers, Kieran. How are you?
Not too bad, Sean, but things not looking great at Dalymount Park at the moment.
No, since the beginning of the season with all this terraces, not TV, promo and stuff, it sort of slid down the feeling around the ground. Like it's not good at the moment. I don't think the squad is reacting to long at the moment. I don't know what it is. We have lost some players, but I don't know. I think we do have the quality to score goals, but Vinny Corcoran isn't doing it at the moment. Stokes has had a few goals, but I don't know. He seems to be still kind of gelling a bit, but I don't know what's going on, to be honest, at the moment. It's like they're not fighting for the shirt anymore.
Yeah, it's strange that you just say that about Long. I was away over the weekend, but when I returned, I had a message from John, and he said to me, you know, there's a couple of Bowes fans here really going in on Long on social media, so I decided to check it out. And there was some very, very heavy criticism. This is a manager that was probably, for me, outside of John Coffey last season, probably the manager of the year.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Did a fantastic job on a shoestring budget, and he's proven it in the past that he can do it. Other clubs almost kept that loan up from a totally dead situation.
Yeah.
So surely there's a feeling that he can turn this little spell around. If they win the next game, they're right back up there in the top six.
Well, that's it. So we're playing Bray, who are bottom. We're second from bottom. I think Sligo Rovers are playing Dundalk. Limerick are playing Pats. So like, if we win and a few fixtures go for us, we can be out of that bottom two, and then you're looking at a different scenario going in when you're playing Dundalk away on Good Friday. So like, it can all change in an instant in the league. That's what makes it the greatest league in the world. But I do understand where the criticism for Long is coming from. But if you're like last season, we didn't start off great either.
Yeah.
And we finished very strong. If you looked at the table, if it was all away results, we would have been up there, top two, I think. Like, so it's like we play better away from home, but that isn't this season at all. I just hope to God there's a good performance against Bray, because Bray are absolutely abysmal. So if we don't beat them at home, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll come back and touch on the home form in a moment, because that is a very strange situation considering the great crowds and everything and the great atmosphere at Dalymount Park recently. But just, you mentioned there earlier on that you're worried about the squad maybe not being strong enough. But when you compare it to the likes of Bray, as you said, they've been absolutely abysmal. 1 point on the board so far. You'd expect Bowes to be beating them quite comprehensively and been nowhere near Bray in the table at the end of the season. Is the frustration with Bowes fans that they just haven't been able to push on from the couple of great finishes over the last few years?
I don't know. It's a number of things. Like, Vinny Corcoran, I don't know where he's gone this season. I know it's only early days, but he just doesn't seem to have that finishing touch that really carried us last season, because Izzy was out for most of it. But we can't rely on Stokes to get us everything. Like, yeah, he's a very good player. He's coming from a great background with Leeds, but you can't just rely on one person, you know. And look at Dan Casey, who was brilliant against Rovers. He's been brutal since. So sorry, Dan, but it's the truth. And it's just not been good at all, you know.
How big a loss was Ford Sule then? Because it seems to me that that they're maybe not creating the chances that they were. They look too open in midfield. Big loss, Shawnee?
Yes, very big loss. I don't know. Fudger was when I saw him first playing, I was like, who is this small lad? He couldn't cover ground, and he was absolutely unbelievable. I shut my mouth after that, and I became a fan very quickly. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe you're right there. It seems we're not controlling the midfield, but he probably our biggest loss, to be honest. If I'm honest,
might be a chance you could get him back. I think Barnet have gone through 5 managers this season. They're in a real mess over there in England. But
I follow him on social media, and he seems to be picking up a lot of little knocks and stuff. So I don't think he's hit. I don't think he's really had a run of succession. I don't think he's even in match squads at the moment. So I don't know what's going on there, but you can't be angry at a player trying to chase his dreams. You know, it's playing in England is where the money's at, you know?
Yeah. So we're going to move on to this match against Bray then. So yeah. At this stage of the season, must win match.
Oh, well, if you look at Bray are on 1 point, we have 5, if I'm right. So we beat them. We're back up there, and especially if fixtures go for us, so Rovers lose, Sligo Rovers that is, and Pats lose or draw, you're talking we're ahead of them again. It's still only early days. I wouldn't be calling for Long's name now. I think he's an absolute class act on and off the pitch. I think he carries himself very well for the club and the direction the club wants to go, and I think he's brilliant. He always makes it a point that the players go over and clap the fans, which is right. Now you can't stick up for someone for too long if results go on, but you can't. I don't think it's Long. I think it's the players. I think it's the players aren't reacting well to what he wants to do. I think there needs to be a bit more training, maybe an extra training session a week where they just lock down, especially set pieces were very leaky like that. But I think Long does a great job with the money that's at his disposal, to be honest.
Is the part-time status a major issue there, Sean? Obviously, it's hard to schedule extra training sessions if players are working.
Really do, but if you want to do well and bring the stature of the club up financially, maybe you need to get players in there that if they can, they can do a late night session themselves or whatever. I don't know what's really happening behind closed doors, but you can maybe schedule yourself in to do something else by yourself on the training pitch with one of the coaches or something. But Dinny Corkin needs to put on his shooting boots and just start lashing goals in, because we really, really need him. I was excited to see Stokes and Ward playing in the same team at home, maybe Dinny Corkin up front. But now, as you said, with Fuds are gone, you can't do that now at home, because we're just going to lose, because there's no midfielders in there controlling the game.
Yeah, I don't know if you're listening last week, Shawnee, but Kieran had a real ding-dong with Alan Corley about Bowes, and Alan made some really good points about why he didn't think Bowes were going to finish top half of the table this season, whereas Kieran was very much, they'll turn it around,
yeah,
they could still get top 5. Would you have that confidence?
To be honest, when I go to the game on Friday, I'll know straight off, because I know there's going to be a lot of pressure on them, at home especially. Hopefully there's a decent crowd again. The crowds have stayed, to be honest, even though the results have been crap, so we deserve a few goals. If we score a few, I'm not disrespect to Bray or anything, but if we do score a few goals against them and we get a good win, good solid win, maybe have a clean sheet, you never know what the next game against Dundalk could bring. I know Dundalk are starting to hit their stride now, but at the start of the season they couldn't find a goal either. So I'll be away to Dundalk as well on Good Friday, so nick a point there and then we're back in it.
Yeah, and of course Bowes were the first team to beat Cork, the steamrolling Cork last season, so you just never know, Shawnee.
I thought that was going to be the case. I thought going in we we might have nicked something away, but I didn't go to the game now, but I did hear that from lads that did go that we did actually have a decent bit of possession and some good chances, but look, they have class up top, you know, so we, and so do we. Like, Sadlier is a very good player, but I do think Dinny Corcoran should be in those goal scoring charts at the moment, you know.
Cork played like champions there, Sean. They defended to like last breath, you know. They blocked everything, and it was a real good display against Bowes. I won't be too disappointed with that result.
No.
I wasn't expecting anything from it, you know. That's just me being with my blind faith, you know.
Just final two questions, Shawnee. Obviously, we're just going to go back and touch on this home form. Major issue over the last couple of seasons. Is there a reason? Can you put your finger on it? Like, as we said, the atmosphere, the attendances have been good. When you're attending the home games, do you notice anything? Is there maybe a different way he's setting up at home compared to away from home? And finally, just again, the investment. Will there be money there in the summer, do you feel, for Keith Long? If his squad is down towards the bottom of that table, will there be money there to dig them out of a hole?
For your first question about home form, I don't really know. Like, everything is there to build up a good home, like getting good results at home. Like, everything is there, good crowds, good atmosphere. Like, there's always singing. It's great. It's like Daly Mount Park. It's a great stadium. Like, I know it's old and it has its problems.
It's the spiritual home of Irish football at the end of the day.
Oh, exactly. You know, so there's everything there. I don't know if it's the pressure. Like, Long does play a good squad at home. Now, look, you can say whatever. It's down to the players, I think. I don't know if they can perform in front of those crowds. Some of them, they're very young squads. They don't really have the experience to play in front of such a loud squad, loud crowd. That could be it. I don't really know, to be honest. Like, it's baffling to me, anyway.
And just on the investment, Shawnee, do you feel there might be some money there to spend in the summer?
I think it will be young players again. Like, we do have a good underage squad, so like there could be a few players coming through. I wouldn't see, if we finish in maybe in the bottom half of the table, I don't see much investment. Look, they'll try their best, and the fans have put their hands into their own pockets for a transfer kitty. So I'm sure that will be asked again. I think that's a great idea. I think. Like, I really enjoy what they do behind, what Bohemians do behind closed doors. I really, really love it. I just wish it was on a level playing field with the rest. But you just gotta keep on plugging, and hopefully now Bray will be a turning point, lads.
Shawnee, that's been absolutely fantastic. Thanks very much for joining us, and best wishes for the rest of the season.
All right, cheers. Thanks very much, lads.
Cheers, Shawnee.
See you.
Okay, folks, so great to get the views of Shawnee Fitzgerald there. We absolutely love having supporters of the league on the podcast, giving them the opportunity to speak. We'll have Julian Canny, our resident Galway fan, on next week's show. We haven't even asked him yet, so Julian, I know you listen every week. You're coming on next week's show. Looking forward to speaking to you, especially Longford playing Galway next week in a huge one in the First Division, so that should be a good little fun chat. But that's been tonight's show, folks. Thanks very, very much for joining us. Thanks to our two guests, Neil Fenn and Shawnee Fitzgerald, for coming on. As always, the show will be available on iTunes, Audioboom, Pocket Cast, Podcast Republic and Mixcloud. Really asking for you to push on the subscriptions this week, folks. We'd love to see more of you subscribing to the show on not just iTunes, but you can do that on Audioboom also. You can even download the shows on Audioboom if you don't have iTunes. And then obviously Pocket Cast and Podcast Republic is for any of you guys out there with Android devices. So, you know, loads of ways to get involved. A review on iTunes as well. We'd really love to hear from you. Drop us, you know, 4 or 5 stars, whatever you feel we deserve. And just let us know that you're listening and what you're enjoying. If there's something you'd like to hear, please do let us know. As I said, pushing towards 1,000 mark on Twitter now. So our handle is @BetweenStripes. We're on Facebook. Look for a search for Between the Stripes and give us a like. And we're on Instagram and Snapchat also. And there's always details about how you can get involved with those on our social media pages. So that's been it this week, folks. Hopefully I'm going to be the one getting the points at the weekend. And we will speak to you again soon next week. Thanks, folks.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audioboom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.